Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Greta, who is here to speak with us about her experience of working with the Guide's January newsletter article. Welcome, Greta.
Hi, Jen. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here. So, yeah, maybe you could talk about what you saw as a result of working with the January newsletter article.
Well, if the first thing I feel like I wanted to say is just how that totally encapsulated, you know, everything about what we do with practice. Like, what does that mean? You know? You can read it so many times and just get to that same place. That, you know, it's a pleasure to practice with once we can kind of expand our awareness to include being puzzled by. But the mind just, oh my gosh, it just doesn't want to like, I don't get it. So it totally encapsulated the whole process of how we practice with Zen and the paradox that it is.
Yeah, which is fun, right? Because that very first line of the article, I'm going to lose my mind. That's kind of what you're describing, that place of like, oh.
Yeah, and in fact, the article leads us through the process. It's the teaching is in the article as it's kind of describing that whole process of losing my mind. I want to lose my mind. Well, how does that work? So going through all the steps as you go through the article, and yet, you know, it's descriptive in a way of someone else's experience, but it also leads the reader through the process of puzzling over what is being said and the way that the mind, you know, should I think about this? Should I, how do I,
So in other words, if I'm tracking, Greta, that you really used the article to walk through it in that series of steps, and that it felt like the way the article was laid out, it really allowed you to be almost a map, it sounds like, of how to work with it.
Exactly. And it's really tricky for the mind, right? You know, it's like if you follow this path, you'll find out exactly what is being described. You will actually have the experience if you allow yourself to have the experience of losing your mind. But it's brilliant in that way. That this I felt like it was describing what another person did with this question at the same time. If I follow that path, if I actually follow along the steps that are outlined, I'm going to have that same experience.
Yeah. Oh, it's so perfect, especially given that it's an article from the Guide, because that's the very... That's what we always talk about in practice, right? That's what a guide is doing, is we're walking in the footsteps as you know, someone who's walking with us on the path and showing us the way. And so you really walked through someone else's experience and really went through those steps yourself. And what you found was, if I do that, I actually have the experience. I have the experience that's being pointed at if I'm willing to walk through those steps in that way.
Exactly, exactly. And that was what I thought was so brilliant about it, is it's almost like you go along and then you turn around and look at where you've come and you see the whole thing before you, you know. But you can kind of, you can retrace your steps and have the same experience. So you can kind of walk your way along that path forward and backward. And it's just I thought it was kind of like a kid's book or a puzzle, you know, that you're right. The guide's job, if you will, is to walk before us, and yet, you know, at any point in time, we can find ourselves in a place, and if we're willing, see where we came from and be willing to then keep going, because
Yes.
it's not scary if we're taking it in those chunks. It's not scary at all. It's delightful.
Yeah. It's not scary. It's delightful if we take it in those chunks. And what it sounds like in turn, when you keep talking about going through those steps, going back through the steps, being willing to, is that it's a practice. We keep practicing it. And that, so, you know, really going to that place in terms of some of sort of the content of the article, going to that gap, right? And then of course the mind wants to come back in. Well, I don't really understand that. I don't, you know, start to think about it, as you say. And then, as is pointed out in the article, well, sure enough, that's where the suffering is in the thinking. Okay, it can come back to the gap over and over.
Yes, exactly. And it is a practice, and you know, there are ways to work with it. One is to read it over and over. Another that I like to do is record it and then listen to it over and over. And as we do that, and we, you know, what I love about practice is, well, another thing that I love about practice is, you know, we're going to go to wherever we go with what's offered. And, you know, another person might have a completely different experience of this article, but that's great. You know, that's why we all practice together. And
Exactly, it's perfect.
it's like it's a safe way to practice, right? I can just practice with this article. I'm losing my mind over reading an article. It's not world peace. So I can just start small and see what happens. You know, I can say, okay, well, how about if I suspend judgment here and just let go for a few minutes while I'm reading an article?
Right, exactly. Stakes are kind of low. I'm just sitting in my chair here. This is not, you know, world peace. So let me practice losing my mind here and see how that goes.
Right. And what I love about something like that, you know, the guide always talks about your car keys. And it's so true. You know, I'm knowing I'm going to get on this call. I had fallen asleep, so I got up and did a couple things and came back to sit down, and it's like 4:45. Oh, okay. Life's perfect timing. I didn't have to
Exactly.
agonize about it. I just had to have it in my awareness, and life got me here at the right time. And the world
I
wouldn't
didn't have
end
to
if,
think about it. It
right?
was right there, available in the gap.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it, Greta. And that reminds me just of a point you made a minute ago that I really wanted to underline too, is that when that whatever the article is, because we're reading it from wherever we are right now, it's perfect for each of us. And each of us sees and works with it in the way that however we need to work with it right now in our practice. And that's it's so it's perfect for each of us in that way.
Right. And it just is so, I mean, we were doing that in the year-long retreat on Sunday. It's
Yes,
perfect for
exactly.
each of us wherever we are. And you know, I don't know a lot of different practices, but this is the one that I know that what the way we participate is all together. There's no authority figure, so we get to share our experience as all those different facets, and everyone benefits from that listening.
That's exactly so. We're truly walking together on the path. Yeah. And I don't know if it was true for other folks, but for me, very much. So this was the January newsletter article that you're talking about, which I would highly recommend people look at if they haven't seen it. And then it felt to me like the February newsletter article from the guide that came out just recently really kind of continued that exploration, continued that conversation, if you will. So that's also worth really practicing with in those same ways that you are pointing at, recording and listening and reading it numerous times and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, just asking that sort of question as a koan, what does this mean?
Exactly.
What does that mean? And then
what?
see what arises. Yeah, it's great to have the opportunity to look at it in this way.
Yeah, it is. Well, and thank you for being with us, Greta, for sharing what you've seen about it so far. It's fun to hear.
Thank you for having me, Jen.
Okay. Take good care.
Good night.
Good night. And Michael, we'll turn the show over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Greta. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. Sherry, can you hear me? Sherry, are you there?
Yes, and you'll be able to hear me a lot better if I unmute myself. Hi, Michael.
I was just about to ask if you were double muted there, hidden back there somewhere.
Oh, dear. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I had a little tumble off the skateboard today, but I am.
I heard that rumor. You teenagers.
I know, and I'm grateful for practice because in a previous earlier time it just feels like I there's a context and there's ability to respond to life and not just react and overreact. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, well, there's so much to it, isn't there? This feels sort of like a continuation of the conversation that Greta and Jen were just having, right? So there you are. you made a decision to get on that skateboard.
Yes.
Right? It wasn't like somebody made you, right? And so there you are, and you're taking responsibility. It's an experience you want to have. You want to see what happens with this. Now, I want to see what happens with this. Perhaps didn't include falling off and hurting myself, right? It was a different image of it. And yet, because you're there and you're present, it's a whole package.
Yes.
Right? And staying with it in that way, step by step by step by step by step with whatever is going on now, then we get to be fine right through. It's not like, okay, well, this didn't go the way I thought it would go. I don't like this experience. And now I have to be miserable, right? Okay. Which is a version of losing one's mind.
Yes. Yes. And given my experience of my conditioned mind, I'd be happy to lose it faster and sooner rather than later. So...
Yeah, I hear you. I know. I my sentiments exactly.
And the next piece of it for me is, okay, life has changed here in this moment. Do I need to communicate something to someone about, the rest of the day or plans or, which I've learned from practice to take responsibility and not control and just communicate about what's happening? And in my experience, practice has been infinitely generous, when I communicate. So
yes.
It's good.
Boy, Michael, of course, that is, if I have an adventure in life, that's it, right? Because exactly that, when we communicate, so you didn't know what was, you didn't know if you were going to be able to be here tonight. Right?
Yes.
And so as soon as you know that you don't know that, then you communicate about it. Great.
Yes.
Then everybody else is prepared. People can step in. if it turns out you can, that's great. If it turns out you can't, it's fine. We've got it covered. There's no problem with anything. There's no need to suffer over anything. But when we don't communicate, all the opportunities for suffering are limitless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, I'm glad you're up and I don't know if you're up, but I'm glad you're here anyway.
Yes, I'm up and I'm here, so that's good.
Oh, good, good. That's excellent.
And I have an announcement here.
All right.
True Reflections is a 6-week virtual training in cultivating attention on awareness that will help participants nurture a lifelong friendship with wisdom, love, and compassion. True Reflections starts April 1st and is for those who have taken the introductory recording and listening class.
And it is a stunner.
Great.
Yeah? Yeah. For anybody who hasn't done it, truly, it is just, it's a game changer. It's beautiful, beautiful. Class and the skills that the places that one can get to go in it are just extraordinary. I think I loved it personally.
Great. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And for this and other practice offerings, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show to indicate that desire by pressing *6. And then 1, and a conversation on one topic of about 5 minutes in length would be fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Twit.
All right. Ready, Sherry? Ready to go?
I'm ready. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. You're welcome. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry. It's Judy in California.
Hey, Judine.
Well, I'm doing Q practice, so here I am. And, you know, I had this amazing reflective listening buddy call yesterday, and it was like, it was so practiced, like, and through, that I just want to share about it. The first thing about reflective listening buddies calls is that, you know, it starts before the call, because, you know, conditioning can be concerned about, like, what are we going to talk about?
There we go. Got a plan for these things.
Right. And so I saw, you know, and I'm really familiar with the process. I've been doing the practice for years. And I saw that... it was kind of going rapid fire, you know, through, like, what were the issues today? And that some of the things were things that were kind of, like, okay to talk about, and some were not. And so I picked the one that conditioning said was, like, not okay to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And
can I just ask you right there? Why did conditioning say no, that you can't talk about that? What was the problem?
Well, it was basically the content.
Uh-huh.
Too
intimate, too personal,
too personal. And you'll actually appreciate this because it has to do with the practice that I've been doing. With a part of myself who's like a young person, whose name is Jody. And that was my name when I was growing up. And like, she just loves to play. Like, and one of the things she loves to do is play with stuffed animals. I had this wonderful thing in the year-long last year. There was a month about, like, gifting, I think, or giving gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And that month, like let's say I'm shopping on the internet, you know, and some ad pops up for something having to do with children's stuff, because look at children's stuff like children's literature, you know, stuffed animals, like for her. And that month, like anything she saw that popped up, she got.
Wow.
It was just like, it was like, you know, every day is my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And so the funny thing was, like, my husband started to notice that there were suddenly a lot of stuffed animals in our life, you know, because, you know, quite a few animals joined the menagerie that month. And so anyhow, where was I going with this? You know, just like the fun of that. And then what I was processing with my buddy was, like, what has that added to my life?
Uh-huh. So, Jodine, let me catch up.
Yeah.
So that is the story that conditioning said you could not tell your buddy.
Right.
You couldn't tell about this, about Jody and the stuffed animals and all of that. That's too.
Right.
Yeah, but you did.
Yes.
You did anyway. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm right with you. Okay, go ahead.
And so one of the things that I kind of realized in the call that I hadn't seen before is, you know, I deal with like a lot of really real medical stuff because I have a chronic illness. And I'm in fact in like support groups for people with this chronic illness because it's so kind of notoriously difficult to go through, you know, alone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and people talk about, you know, sometimes we have a session of a support group that's about coping, like how do you cope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I realize, like, you know, one way I cope with having Parkinson's disease is I play with stuffed animals.
If I may, Jodine, because it's not like painting is going to be an outlet.
Right.
It's not like, I mean, there are a lot of things at this juncture that there would be no pleasure in it because it would just put you in, I'm projecting wildly here, so you just tell me if I'm off track, but it would just put you more in touch with the difficulty and the pain, I mean the mental, emotional pain of the disease than it would be any kind of comfort or pleasure to you.
Absolutely.
There would be a lot of things
absolutely
like that, right?
Yeah.
But stuffed animals, they're easy, right?
Yes.
I mean, in every way, you can drop it, and it's fine. It feels good on your skin. It's easy to handle, right? So it's easy for me to project a lot of pleasure in something like that, aside from the emotional aspect. That most of us, many of us, I would guess, experienced when we were little children, and then we had to leave behind, right? Because that's childish, and then that whole way of receiving that pleasure and comfort just leaves our lives because that you're a grown up now, you're a grown woman, you don't get to play with stuffed animals.
Right, or you don't like you don't watch out the window when you know there's a delivery coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all the aspects of of this kind of like project that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it really, I think what I saw with the, what being reflected helped me see is that what how I've benefited from this is that the lighthearted, just like blank slate, innocent fun of a child is part of my life, like, regularly.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, she doesn't know what Parkinson's is. Like, she doesn't have Parkinson's disease.
Yes. 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 Well, you know, Judine, there are a couple of things about that. First of all, I don't know that I would make that statement.
No.
Because the person who is engaged in this is a grown person with Parkinson's disease.
Right.
She is. And she receives all this comfort and pleasure and fun and enjoyment out of these stuffed animals. She does. Now, she might feel very young at the time because that's the association that, you know, that's kind of the last time she was able to feel that way. But it's very much a present moment experience. It's not like the grown woman with Parkinson's disease goes away somehow and you become a child. You actually don't.
Right. Yeah, I think maybe we're saying the same thing in different ways.
Uh-huh. Good. Because what I don't want people to go to is I have a child in me who has these stuffed animals and basically I, grown person, go away and what takes over is small child who, we want way more integration than that, right? So
right.
If it's a grown person with Parkinson's disease, and one of the ways that she can enjoy being physical in her body, having an experience that's heart-opening and fun and pleasurable, that's an integrated experience.
Yes, it feels very integrated,
yeah.
For me. Although I wouldn't have chosen that word. But yeah, I think we're on the same page.
I just heard it come out. yeah.
So
that's it. So it's wonderful, isn't it? And the thing that I like so much about this, appreciate so much about this, is a lot of us, I would bet, have the kind of conditioning that says, yeah, well, you could only enjoy something like that if all these other avenues of enjoyment are taken away from you. Well, and we really don't have to fall for that.
No. Yeah, like
so
the bumper
sticker.
Anybody
listening, they don't have to wait until they have Parkinson's disease in order to have stuffed animals if they want to have stuffed animals, if they like them, if it gives them a sense of pleasure and enjoyment.
Yes. Yes. I'm thinking of the bumper sticker, it's never too late to have a happy childhood.
Exactly so. Yeah. Yes. And I go to Jesus saying, you must become as little children.
Yeah.
Right? That innocence, that sweetness, the things aren't divided out into this is okay for this, this is age appropriate, this is not. This is, you can't, now you have to, I remember when I grew up in the country, so I grew up wearing jeans, right? But then I was a grown woman and I was going to get married, and so I had to get rid of all my jeans. Now, nobody told me I had to do that, but that was just something that I understood I had to do.
Yeah.
No. And then I had to wait to get divorced to get my jeans back again. No. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, don't.
Okay.
Don't let them grind you down. Don't let them take the precious
right.
things away.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because the thing that is true about it is it's completely harmless.
Yeah.
Completely, absolutely harmless. Right? And so why not? Why not? Well, because what will somebody think? Or what will they say? Or what would, you know? No. No. That's not going to dictate our lives. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you so much, Jodine.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. And Sherry, what dropped in right at the end there is that what the voices say to me in my head is so much more worse than what anybody outside has ever said to me.
Yes. Well, and you know, Michael, this is Jodine's conversation is perfect because you're a grown man. What are you doing on a skateboard? Right? What are you, kid? So, you know, you fall off, say you broke something, right? There would be people who would roll their eyes and go, well, what do you expect? And then a grown person can't enjoy being on a skateboard, right?
Yes.
Well, that's for kids. Now, and see, Michael, see what happens? You behave that way, and this is the result you get.
Yes. Yes. And just like
Jodine. I
never
want to stop having fun.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of joy in it for me. It's just like as Jodine was talking about. So, yes.
Exactly. And why shouldn't we? And no, things don't happen to us because we're doing something that we really shouldn't be doing, or you know, you're too old for that, or that's immature. You know, you need to. That's how people get old.
Yes, yes.
They lose their enthusiasm. They lose a sense of fun, a sense of play, right? And so what? You're just going to get up and do grisly, hard adult stuff all day? No. No fun. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Wonderful. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm so excited. Well, I'm just excited to be on. I just feel like an important time to connect. And I really completely resonated with the good news update because I've been practicing with that.
Mm.
So it felt like a great opportunity to just check in with you. Because I actually set up my year-long practice or some of the things we've done so far of stopping regularly. And focus, I just have done a 3-minute stop as often as I can during the day, but I set the timer. And wherever I am, I just stop and just to be and to see to see what it's like not to be thinking. I mean, just to lose the mind. And oh my gosh, that sounds so simple, and it has been, I haven't had this much resistance at nighttime, daytime, for a really long time.
Yeah. Well, and there's no doubt who's running the show, is there? So if we just simply make the ego and the mind, conditioned mind, synonyms, right?
Yeah.
Then you're gonna actively not have the mind in control. Are you nuts?
Yeah. Well, it sort of comes down to that. And there is, you know, everywhere I look, there is support for that to be, for the mind to be, for the thinking to be happening, for that to be going on.
Oh.
So it's been an amazing practice. And I have just loved how I know I'm being guided always. I mean, I just know that deep down. And that what I've gotten to is just being relaxing into the body in a way, practicing it. That's what it's been, because that's what I saw is necessary, just relaxing into the breath and the body in those stopping times, because how else am I going to get out of the mind? And it's just been amazing. But at the same time, I'm getting the message constantly that, maybe for a second there, no. And, you know, that it's really not possible. And then what comes in is, it doesn't matter. I'm just practicing. I'm just showing up. And this is what I'm going to continue to do as long as I can. And if it's nothing else, that's what I'm doing. And that's enough. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, it makes total sense. And here's what I saw as you were saying. So, you know, as human beings, we are the, as far as we know, and that seems to be the case, we are the only thing in the entire universe that can experience ourselves as separate from life. Right? Nothing else can or does. We also can notice that we are the most unhappy things in life. Right? Now, I understand that's a projection, right? But, you know, I mean, you watch a fish for a while. You know, even if it's in a little tiny bowl, it just fishes along, right? You know, if you have a dog or you have a cat or, you know, they're just living their lives, right? They're not, as far as we can tell. Now, I understand there are some neurotic animals, but for the most part, everything in nature is just being itself. Right?
Yeah.
Not worrying about, not planning for, no memories about mistakes in the past or fears and concerns about just being whatever they are right in the moment. Now, why then should we assume that we can't do the same thing?
Yes.
You
but
have
the conditioning
kids.
Right? Yeah.
You have kids, and so you can, even though they're really old now, you notice that too, huh? You can remember when they weren't able to do anything except be as they were, be the way they were. Right? Kicking their little feet around and, right? Just there. And then you watch them, even though, well, yeah, you did because you were practicing from then. You watch them gain all of these god-awful skills of the illusion of separation that we've managed. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking, of course, for anybody with kids to watch them go through that. But every kid who has the capacity is going to go through it, right? And so the belief that we cannot be the way we started out being, why would we want to believe that?
Yeah. What that just took me to, Sherry, is what I was my practice before doing the stopping every hour for 3 minutes was, or my motto, that's what we called it, was celebrating the perfection. And that just took me to that place all the time of being the kid, what you and Jodine were talking about, really, to that delight and wonder in everything. And then to go to this and have, I don't want to say the opposite experience, but where I got to see, I have gotten and continue to see in detail how conditioning operates and how ugly and awful it is.
Yes.
I mean, planning, that's all I see is planning and evaluation going on constantly. And
that's right.
So I may have to go for more than 3 minutes.
Well, because that illusion of being separate from life has to do exactly that. Right? It has to not be in this moment, and it has to be other than.
Yeah.
So of course, and that's what conditioned mind is focused on all the time. And of course, it wants to tell you, and that's all that's available to you. You can't. I mean, come on. You can't. 3 minutes? You're just going to be?
I know. It's nothing. It's nothing. But I have one other thing I just
huge,
wanted to share.
Jan. It's huge.
Well, it is, because what happens, I'm told in those 3 minutes constantly that it's not possible. But then the rest of my day, it drops in the sensations and all that I experience in those 3 minutes as I just let, as best I can, just to be, then that starts to happen during the day.
Yes. Yes, it does. Oh my God. Yes, it does. So that's what.
So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, and that's what I talk about as the tractor beam, right? You're just, you're hooked up. You're hooked up, and you're just being reeled in. You're just being brought home, right? And so there you are, and this is a critical piece of what you're experiencing. I don't know if you think about it this way, but there you are, and you're practicing just being, right? You're just sitting there, just being. Now, you're watching conditioned mind say, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's not possible. You can't do that. You can't do that. Well, you're not the conditioned mind that's saying that. You're the awareness that's mm-hmm. aware of conditioned mind doing that, right? So
yeah.
while
yeah.
you're aware of conditioned mind doing that, you're just being. You're actually just being awareness.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
and
for
so,
the art. Yes. Oh, go ahead.
Well, yeah, wait. There's more here. There's more. And so that's what you're actually practicing is coming back to just being in awareness, aware of what conditioned mind is doing, aware of the body, aware of the breath, aware of light, aware of color, aware of whatever is going on if your eyes are open, or sounds if your ears are open, right? And so there you are, aware of all of that. And that's what you're practicing. And that is the practice that is bringing you home. And so
yes.
all day long, as you say, that drops in. And it's a feeling, it's a sensing, because, Jan, because all day long, whether you're doing it as a conscious practice or not, you are dropping into awareness, aware of whatever is happening.
Yep.
You with
yeah,
me?
Yeah, it's strengthening that. Yes. Because yep. what my sense of it is, as I do the stopping everything, you know, every hour,
mm-hmm.
that in between, when it just comes, it's that strengthening of the muscle. It's like life
right.
recognizing itself.
That's
and,
right.
Oh my gosh.
That's right.
It. Yeah. Just that.
And even if you sit there for 3 minutes, and all you hear is that voice going, "It's not going to work. You can't do this. You can't." More and more, you're going to realize you're going to be grinning to yourself. Because you realize that it doesn't have anything to do with anything, right? It doesn't. It's not my experience. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It's just the mind. It's what I'm in the process
yes.
of losing.
Yes, and it just took me to years ago. I had the opportunity to be in Thailand and was at the where anyway. There were many Buddhas at the one palace we went to in Bangkok, and the smile. It was the smile on the
mm-hmm.
Buddhas that I just was, I it's like, where's that coming from? Where's that coming from?
Yes.
And
yeah.
I feel like that's where we are in practice, of what you just
yes.
described, because that smile is
yes.
there because we're seeing all that garbage for what it is,
yes.
that it's
yes.
not us.
Yes.
And it's such,
and it's
a miracle.
Right, that smile is that you have a secret.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Yeah. And so with Michael, I'll go back to, Hafiz, right? And going out and getting the groceries and coming in and tickling one another as you fix dinner, right? That's it. That's the
yeah.
smile. That's the relationship. That's the just us, isn't it, life? Just me and you, life. Yeah.
But boy, when you touch on it, the resistance, I mean, it's getting me at night now, so now I'm coming up with new ways to deal with that, with recordings and so forth. But wow, the resistance,
well,
that's what lets us know partly that we're in the right place.
Oh, absolutely. And that gives us the courage to go on so we don't get scared and quit. And just that, it's kind of a, hey, you go, yeah, hit me with your best shot. Come on, because we both know what's going on here, and your days are numbered. So knock yourself out. I'm going to watch every single bit of it so that by the time we get through with this dance, I will know every step. If anybody asks me about this dance, I'll be able to tell them how to do it.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Thank you for the article.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you for all the guidance.
Oh, pleasure. Pleasure. Thank you.
All righty. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jan, and that certainly put a smile on my face also, Sherry, that conversation. So that's great.
And all through that conversation, well, through that last part of the conversation, I was thinking about the Mona Lisa smile that has just so captivated people, and it is very like a Buddhist, a Buddha's smile. You know, and that, and that's what people, you know, what was she up to? What was she, you know, well, that's probably it. See, it's just like, all that nonsense. No, we're not bothered by that.
Lovely. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Perfect.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Howdy, howdy.
Patty. Hello.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. So I'm just leaving my studio. And you'll hear the door close, and then I'm going to have a chat as I look up at the moon.
Oh, wonderful. At the moon, yes. But it's still daylight where you are.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. But she's been out all day, hasn't she, hanging around there?
She has. Mm-hmm. So I phoned without a problem or something. Well, I didn't know what I was going to say, but I just feel so close to you and Michael because since we stopped the daily calls the end of last year, I come to the studio and I started at 2003 with all the archives of Open Air. So I'm now in 2004, March, and I've heard about Costa Rica, I've heard about Assisi, I've heard, and it's been so wonderful that Michael, he says, oh, Sherry, well, maybe our listeners don't know what song it is. Could you tell them? And so it's just been so wonderful going back to kind of Zen 101.
Well, we were just kids then, weren't we? Well,
yeah.
Michael really was. Yeah. That's funny to hear you say that because it's true. Practice has been all over the world, haven't we? Doing all kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, at that point, you were off here and there and everywhere. You had a lot of energy to go places. And
That has been the case up until this year. So I have told this to any number of people that all of my life, I have had an ambition to be in one place for an entire year, to go through all the seasons in one place. And Ashwini told me the other day that middle of March this year, I will have accomplished that. Because she said, I came back to California, I don't remember it, but the middle of March last year. And then because of COVID, I never went anywhere again.
Yeah.
So that's the first time in, you know, my adult life. I've been traveling like that since 83 or 80 or something like that. Yeah.
Huh. Now you just go 5 miles in the same city, walking.
Oh, absolutely.
Or running.
Yeah. Right out my front door and down the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's heavenly.
So there was one thing that I hoped I could have got on the call last Sunday, because what I saw went during the show, the when people were talking, I saw what ego had done to me. And I was just so excited to see that. And so what it was that I had done all the practices, like taken my chore or challenge and done it every day and was closely watching. But when I read the prompts every day, I didn't necessarily do them. So it was all of a sudden seeing where ego is saying, well, you can participate, but not totally because you didn't do everything. You know, it was that same thing, and I hadn't seen that until partway through the talk.
So ugly,
and,
isn't it?
You can't
because you didn't too. It sounds like, you know, kind of eight-year-olds on the playground, you know, the bully, the eight-year-old bully.
Yeah.
Kind of what
and
like.
So since then, twice now, I've listened to that recording from last Sunday, and I just find them so helpful. And again, it's just all of us together, all Sangha, and, you know, all wanting to awaken and be together and like-minded. I don't know. There's just something so wonderful about that for me right now.
Yeah, and I project it's the difference is so stark. You know, one of the things we talk about, of course, a lot in practice is that people can't tell what is who you are and what is ego. Well, that makes it really clear. You're the one who is there really happy and excited for people and wanting to be together and wanting everybody to awaken and support one another in practice. And then there's the, you know, the eight-year-old playground bully telling you what you can and can't do because you did it wrong. You're a bad person.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, so until we're identified. Then we get identified.
Yeah.
It's not obvious at all.
But I stay close to practice in either listening to things or recording and listening, and it makes such a difference to how much I see and how much I don't see.
So. Oh, yeah. And it's what keeps us on that tractor beam.
Yes.
We know it, but we either don't know it or we forget. But what we are attending to is what we have. So if I want to awaken, then I better give pretty much all my attention to awakening. Because
mm-hmm.
if I give all my attention to ego, I'm going to have ego.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing we know, and yet we can get so talked out of it. So I'm right there. I spend all of my, of course, as I just said, I'm home in my little house 7 days a week. And I spend hours and hours every day listening to recordings, recording the things that I want to immerse myself in and listening to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to listen to that other bully.
Yeah. And the one other thing that I have been practicing for a couple of weeks now is I sit down and I say, the body is just natural. It's me and it's not me. It knows how to breathe. It knows how to heal itself. I just need to watch. And so it's a sort of a way for me to get into just not doing something about something. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you're just observing. You sit there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you're observing the moon, right? There's mm-hmm. the moon. I mean, you don't need to do anything about the moon, right? And there are the trees, and there's the, you know, whatever it is that's there. We're very accustomed to simply observing, just noticing, being aware of. Why not us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah. So that's about all I wanted to say, other than thank you for archives and classes.
Yeah, and you can tell we had a good time doing it, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Week after week after week.
I know.
It's fun.
You and Michael, the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The team. Yep. We started out in 2003, Michael. Were we at Stanford then?
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
Yeah, with our big earphones on. And, yeah, like real
studio.
In a studio. And yeah, good times.
And you'd just written the book, When You're Falling Dive, I think.
Ah,
and you were promoting it. And yeah, so I got that book out and I read it. So I'm just sort of going
it's still
along.
It's a good book, isn't it?
It is.
Still a good book.
Is.
I still like that one a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, my dear.
Thank you.
Take good care. Talk to you soon.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, Michael.
Okay.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Patty. And I have another grin on my face here, Sherry. That's lovely. And as you know, not just you and me, it's Sangha. This show is Sangha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh,
so,
yeah. And the number of people, one of the things I love most is the number of people that you could hear on those shows then, and you can still hear them now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Lovely. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Janice from the west coast of Canada.
Oh, hello, Janice.
Yeah, hi there. Well,
by golly, we were just talking to your neighbor.
You were. That's right.
Yeah.
And I was sending photographs to people today of all the different weather we were having. We were having, we had a windstorm, and then we had sun and rain, and I was looking for rainbows, and then the hail came. And I just thought, wow, this is just an amazing place to live because it's constantly changing, and it keeps me awake.
Yeah, yes. Well, And what a wonderful reminder that life is constant movement. Ego wants not to move, right? Wants everything to stay the same. Let's just lock this in and not ever let anything change. And then there's the weather.
Yeah. And I was actually watching as the sun came out for a while, and I had so much energy, and I can't drive, so I can't really go anywhere, and I have some pretty arthritic knees, but so I huddle around the neighborhood, but it was like, oh, I have to get out. And then a cloud kind of came, and it was like, oh, I think I feel like lying down. And then the sun came out, and this was over a matter of, like, minutes. I watched what ego was doing.
Uh-huh. So basically, how would you describe that, Janice? I mean,
it was just
the sun
a
would
story.
Come out.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-huh. And then
it's
it
a whole
say,
ego story about what my energy is going to be if the weather is a particular thing and if it changes. And it was just like, it was just so ridiculous.
I love it. It has to be in charge, doesn't it? That's kind of what we were talking about with Jan. right?
Yeah.
It needs to be calling the shots. It needs to be expressing its opinion every second,
mm-hmm.
even though it has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so fun to, like, I guess I'll just get my umbrella and go out anyhow. You know, who cares? And I always have a nice time wherever I'm wandering. It always, there's always something. What I wanted to say, too, is that because the vision of one eye after the operation will be very slow to repair, and I can't quite tell if it is actually improving, the other eye is declining. I'm using walking poles, which help me feel more stable and keep me more upright, because then I'm not sort of like kind of hunkering down in my body thinking, oh, I don't know what that is. I can't tell if that's a dip or something sticking up mm-hmm. or what. It just gives me more confidence, and it's been a wonderful, it's been a great tool to do that. But the other thing I do is I have always taken photographs and enjoyed that, but it's a bit like stuffed animals. I love to do it. I just love to do it. I don't archive them anywhere. I don't get them printed up. Sometimes I share them off when it's spontaneous, but I just love to do it. And now what I do, because I can't see what I can't see the details of what I'm doing, looking at, I actually get to look at them again when I come back from my walks. And I find that there's detail that I can see because I can kind of blow it up. I see the form and the light and the color, and I know how I want to compose things. But fortunately, like a mobile phone can auto-focus, and I get like double the pleasure again. It's like so much fun.
So you go out, you take the picture, you have a general idea, right? Mm-hmm. You still do sort of composition and that sort of thing. So you have a general idea, and then you can come back, and it sounds like put them on your computer and
or my iPad.
Make them big.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And make them big, and then you can see. Isn't that? I mean, I just love the spirit, right? Because what we're meant to do. You know this, right? What you're meant to do is basically decide your life is over. That's what you're meant to do. You know, mm-hmm. your knees don't work, mm-hmm. and now your eyes don't work.
Mm-hmm.
So just give up. Find a couch, sit down on it, and hate life. Be miserable, right? Or,
right.
as an alternative, okay, well, then what's possible now? I can't do those things that I used to do. What can I do? How can I have that? How can I have the same level of enjoyment of life now?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I've ever told you this, but my father went blind when he was 30. So he had two little kids, and then he had a brain tumor, and they operated and they touched the optic nerve and he went blind. And the number of people that I knew through the, you know, period of time that I lived with him who actually believed that he would be better off dead.
Oh dear.
They
yeah.
actually projected onto him that he would wish that he were dead. Well, of course, I knew my father. That was so not his experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that he learned to do after he was blind were things that an awful lot of people would not have learned to do with two functional eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so okay, all right. I can't do that the way I used to do it. So what can I do? All right, I can take these pictures, I can bring them home, I can put them on my iPad, I can blow them up, I can see them, double the pleasure.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It is really fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I take my sticks, I go out there, I probably don't go as fast as I used to. Okay, well, I might be a whole lot more present.
Yeah. Yes, and, you know, I've always listened for things, like listened for the birds and things that I can't identify by seeing. I know they're there and around.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
Anyhow,
so,
it's just...
Well,
it's
so important, Janice. It really is for all of us, because it's just an orientation that I think practice offers us. And
it does.
Makes life just better and better and better instead of not so, not so, not so, right? Because it's that, okay, well, what now? What now? What am I being offered now? What's possible now? I guess, I don't know if I was talking to Shwenny, I was talking to somebody about the thing of that we're so focused on in practice now of we have to encounter what we need to transcend. And and so the person, they were having trouble with technology and just pitched a fit, right, through a temper tantrum, almost, you know, was ready to break the equipment because it wouldn't work. Well, we don't think about that kind of thing as a spiritual opportunity. So what I need to encounter and transcend is going to be some spiritual thing, right? It's not going to be having a fit because technology doesn't work, right? But it is that. It is that. There isn't anything that's being offered to us that isn't perfect for us.
Yeah.
To move us closer to freedom and joy.
Yeah, yeah. I realize that with me, I would watch things carefully and all the details. I can never regret that I didn't take time to do that. But I also know that now when I'm walking down a street, I haven't got any idea, like with crossing a street with a car, like I really, really pause because I don't know if they have really seen me or if they're waving
That's
me on.
Right.
I can't tell that type of thing. And I used to be interpreting all the time if somebody, is this a friendly world or is this whatever? Now I can't tell. It's just I got to embrace the fact the world is friendly. I'm going to go out there with my little Buddha smile, and I don't have to make eye contact if I'm can't
right.
tell what where the person's
if
face really is. But
that's exactly,
it is an orientation.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I go back to being with my father someplace, and somebody would hand him something. You know, reach out to hand him something.
Yeah.
Now he looked. You would have never known. That he couldn't see. You have just never known it. As people can't tell with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So they would hand him something, and of course he wouldn't respond. And just to watch people's range of reactions from, geez, to what is the matter with you? Or would you wake up? Or would you pay attention? Or are you stupid? Or, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Just seeing all of those kinds of things and the sensitivity, that it brings.
Yes, and the appreciation I have now for anybody who is like visually impaired or hearing impaired, and really not making any assumptions. It's been an eye opener for me.
so to speak. Yes. And with the knees, you know, for people who. That suddenly there's a sensitivity to when things are on the second floor and there's no, you know, or, the things that we can miss, not because we're insensitive or we're evil or rotten or anything else, but just because we haven't had the experience.
Yeah, exactly. That direct experience makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful. Yeah.
And that's the beauty of all of us, right? Because it's what we talk about with Sangha. So now you're going through this. We have other people in Sangha who are hearing impaired or visually impaired or that sort of thing. And so it can bring a sensitivity to all of us. If we don't all have to have every single thing happen to us directly, mm-hmm. we can experience things through in the same way that, you know, when we get together for group and hear about everybody's experiences of something,
yes.
well, we're all, you know, we listen to Jodine and Parkinson's disease and stuffed animals. And, well, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? I wouldn't have thought of that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet I feel so grateful and I don't even know what the words are, but somehow enhanced, which is a funny word, but I can't think of another one, by having that information, by knowing
yeah.
that, by being introduced yeah. to that.
Yeah, so it's enriching, isn't it?
Enriching. Excellent word. Thank you, Janice. Rather than enhancing, because enhancing, I felt like I was getting bigger and bigger. But yes, yeah, sort of expanded. Yes.
So I felt like that on Sunday. I wanted to say that with the workshop, and it was just such a direct experience about I could not do this alone, and the richness of everybody's offerings.
Yeah.
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 It's
yeah.
brilliant.
We're lucky.
We're lucky. So lucky, and I'm so lucky Oof. That everything is on a kind of a auditory platform, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. that's the way we've been training for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrific. So thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Songa. It's
yeah.
brilliant.
Thank you, Janice. Take good care. Good to hear
yes.
from you. All right, go happy.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. And yes, I think I'm going to have this grin on my face for a long time, Sherry. It's been a lovely show.
I know. Let's just keep them. What the heck, huh?
What yeah. the heck? What the heck?
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. It's fabulous.
All right. Thanks,
go
everybody.
Happy.
Good night. Go
Good
happy.
Night.